Welcome to the 180 Podcast. You are listening to a teaching of the 180, a new church committed to learning to love Jesus and love like Jesus. Our prayer is that God would use this teaching to help you grow closer to Him and that you would feel moved to join us in person, where you can grow in community with the larger 180 family.
Bienvenue à la balado-diffusion de l'Église 180. Vous écoutez un enseignement de l'Église 180, une nouvelle Église qui s'est engagée à apprendre à aimer Jésus et à aimer comme Jésus. Notre prière est que Dieu utilisera cet enseignement afin de vous aider à vous rapprocher de Lui et que cela vous donne envie de vous joindre à nous en personne où vous pourrez vous épanouir au sein de la communauté qu'est la grande famille de l'Église 180.
If we haven't met yet, my name is Dominic, and I'm one of the leaders here, and just, you've already met, like, our great team and our staff and all the good things happening in our church. Thank you, King Glory. All the exciting things happening in our church. I'm just so proud of many of you who have taken, like, this fall season to grow with us, and I'm also aware of those who were baptized last weekend. I just want to mention, if you're here and you were here last weekend for the first time and you came back again and you're still exploring church and faith and the Bible, we're just so happy that you're here. We know, like, it could take a big step or it feels like a risk to, like, step into church for the first time. And many of you know this. You have friends or family, people that you care about, that if they knew you came to church today, they'd think, like, you're weird. Like, because people in Quebec don't go to church anymore, and they think it's very strange. So we want to create kind of a space here where we're making room. We're making room for you to know that it's safe to invite somebody who's maybe wondering about God. Maybe they're navigating pain and suffering, the complexities of the world. So we're doing that as we're learning on about a topic that actually is not an easy topic to teach about. I mentioned this last week that when I think about all the things we wish we could talk about, there are so many topics that people want to talk about, right? They want to talk about, like, how the Habs are better than the Leafs. They want to talk about how... Some of you got that. All right. We want to talk about how, you know, how do we strengthen our marriage? How do we get our finances? How God blesses our kids? All those things. But the topic of holiness is actually much more difficult to talk about. And last week we started this series, and I wanted to just give us some time to slowly reflect on something that I think over time is becoming less and less important to people. It's weird to me because the Bible talks so much about holiness, and yet I think one of the reasons is we don't know how to talk about holiness. Or when we think about the idea of holiness, we have all of these ideas that are in our minds. Like, for some people, you might hear the word holy and you think of legalism. Meaning you think of someone telling you to follow the rules, and if you don't follow the rules, God's going to punish you and you're in trouble. Like, that's all they think about when they think about holiness. Or from other people, maybe holiness is this thing that's, like, just impossible. Like, who can really be holy? Like, maybe God didn't really mean that when He talked about holiness in the Bible, right? So all of us have our own stories and our own challenges. But last week, I just shared kind of a basic reminder of what the word holiness means. If you were in our home groups, maybe you remember that in your discussion. And I'm just so proud, like, let me just say, just side note, we have about 80 people in home groups in the middle of the week. I'm just so proud of you. Many of you, yeah, like, one person clapped, the rest of you don't care, but, like, to take time out of your schedule and to commit to growing with other Christians is important, and you've done that. And if you haven't, there's going to be time to do that in the future, so don't worry about that. But we looked at the meaning of holiness and the simple definition. If you forgot, here it is. To be holy means to be set apart, okay? Just if you forgot that or you're just here for the first time, just remember, like, a simple definition. Now, it's going to be much deeper in a few minutes. We're going to get further. But just the idea to be holy is to set something apart. So it's not necessarily even like a religious word, right? Like, this week, some of you got a taste of the idea of holy by just something that happened in our culture, if you were paying attention. This week was the announcement of this year's Nobel Prize winners. How many of you follow Nobel Prize winners? Nobody? You know, I often tell my kids, like, these are the people who are the real influencers in the world and not the people on YouTube, although we love you, YouTube. It's good to be on YouTube. So, these are the people who have been set apart in their field for doing some incredible things that are going to change the world. Many of you don't even know their names. You don't even care. Because the media is not going to tell you about these unless you go looking. You're going to read all kinds of other nonsense that won't matter. But these are the people that are really changing the world. And I often think about how easily our culture can make us focus on one thing that we think is important that won't matter, and the other things that are important we don't care about. But just the idea that the people who were selected to win Nobel Prizes were what? They were just set apart for their unique contribution in their field. That's what holy means. Like, it doesn't really have to have like a religious meaning in a sense. It just means to set something apart as very unique or special or for a particular reason. Now, in the Bible, we're introduced to the holy idea that not only that God sets people apart, that God himself is holy. The Bible introduces us to this important idea that I want to talk about today, which is, what does it mean that God is holy? What does it mean that the Bible calls God holy, and then this God who's holy says to us, we should desire to become holy? If you want to take notes, just remember this. God is always holy. We become holy. That means that God cannot not be holy. Like, there never was a time when God was not holy. That means there never was a time where God was not set apart as something completely other than we could ever imagine. Right? And in a few minutes, I'm going to just go a bit further to help you understand that. The earliest Christians in the Bible, when they thought about what God was doing in their lives and what God wanted to do in their communities and in their families, they often thought about the Old Testament and how the Old Testament called people to be holy. I want to begin with a passage from the Bible from the New Testament, because it shows us that both the New Testament and the Old Testament together are holding together this idea of what it means to understand holiness. You'll see it on the screen. It's found in the letter that Peter writes. And it says this. It's written to a church that is likely in a lot of struggles and challenges. It says this: as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance or your former life. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy. In all your conduct, since it is written, and when the Bible says it is written, it's talking about the Old Testament, since it is written, likely the book of Leviticus, right? You shall be holy, for I am holy. So think about this. Christians in the New Testament, Jesus has come, Jesus loves them, the cross, the resurrection, when they think about what it means that they're called to do now, they're remembering, yes, there's something about what Jesus is doing in us that has to do with us learning about being holy. Because from the beginning of the story of God's people, God reminded them that he was holy. One of the reasons I love this passage is because it talks about us as children of God, right? There's this sense that we're not trying to be holy because we're in trouble. We're not trying to be holy because God's mad. We're already loved as his children, and then he now calls us to learn to practice this way of life, which is to be set apart for his purposes. If you were here last week, I talked about like just getting honest about that, that for many of us, we don't really want to be holy. We don't even want to be set apart for God's purposes. We want God to do things for our purposes. And the Bible's like, by the way, that's not how God works. And if you don't really learn to understand the way God is like, you're always going to misunderstand him. You're always going to misunderstand when he's trying to speak to you or teach you. So just in a simple reminder, remember this idea that God is set apart. Now, I want to go just a bit deeper, okay? I'm just going to go a bit deeper. I'm going to teach you something about a doctrine of the Christian faith. I know some of you heard the word doctrine and you got sleepy. You're like, oh my goodness, it's going to be hard. It is. It is. I'm warning you right now. If you're watching online, we're so happy you tuned in. Do not click the little X at the top, okay? Just stay with me. Stay with me because I want to tell you why it's so important that we understand more about why God is holy before we understand how we're called to be holy. Okay? Now, we sing about this all the time. We have songs we even sang today, like lifting holy hands. It doesn't mean my hands don't make mistakes. It means my hands are set apart for the things of God, right? It's always set apart, set apart, set apart. Remember that. So the Bible says that God is holy, holy, holy. It often uses this three phrase, the three words holiness, just to emphasize how profound this is. What it's trying to say to us is that God, whenever you think about him, whatever image comes to your mind when you think about God, it's probably not 100% accurate. Because God is so different than any thought, idea, even a word that we have for him. But he's holy, holy, holy. So let me give you a very simple example, a visual of this. That means if God is this chair, right? Which he's not. God is this chair. And he's holy means he's set apart, set apart, set apart from anything else that we would know. Meaning that the only way I can get to know what God is like is that God must approach me. I cannot approach him. Remember that God's holiness is this a profound reminder in the Bible that when we learn about God, it's because God is so loving that he comes near to us to teach us about his holiness, okay? And everybody in the Bible would have understood this, that God is like so mysterious and beautiful and loving and caring, but we can't just get carried away with thinking like, oh, God's just my friend and, you know, I feel spiritual inside. I'm into positive things and I'm in, like, none of that's nice, but it's not going to last too long as you learn about God's holiness. So let me give you just a simple doctrinal idea about God's holiness. You'll see it on the screen, essential to understand. Okay, you can go to the next slide. It said the fullness of God's holiness in the Bible is always hidden from us. Okay, in the Christian faith, whenever people talked about God's holiness and the fullness of what he was like, they realized that God, in some ways, hides parts of his holiness, hides parts of his glory, right, to protect us from not dying. Okay? This is such an important thing that for so many people, and I'll be honest, like when I was learning about the Bible and I was a Christian, I was like, I never heard this before. Like, I was like, what? Pause, like, wait a second. I never realized that, wait a second. So God's holiness is something that he is, but then it's hidden from us in such a way because he's so loving and gracious towards us. Meaning that if he just showed his holiness the way he actually was, we would all just die. Right? Thanos style, right? Like some of you got that anyway. Like you could not like see and you'd be disoriented. And the only example I have, I think of this example because I have boys, and when they were really, really young, I used to think about like all these moments that we would like, I would wrestle with them and they would be like, Dad, go hide. And then when I come out, just jump on me and let's wrestle. And they would say all this to me, right? And they were really young. I don't do that with them anymore because I'll lose. But when they were young, I could win, okay? I would wrestle with them, and at every point while we were wrestling, I knew that if I made a little mistake, I could kill them, right? At any moment when I'm holding them or on top of them, like I'm like, Dad's gonna get you. Like I'd be holding my body weight not to crush them or dislocate their elbow, right? That's a glimpse of God saying, I do that with you when I reveal my holiness. I always hold a little bit back so you never forget who I am, but I love you too much to destroy you. This is such an important Christian doctrinal principle. If you don't know this, you just start to think of God as just like your buddy in your head that you think about, and you forget that God is holy, he's holy, and he's holy. And that means when he approaches us to reveal himself, it's because he loves us. He loves us so much that he knows that for us to be holy, we have to get glimpses of his holiness. For us to care about holiness, we have to have a better picture of what he's like when we look at him and gaze on him and pay attention to what he's really, really like. And the field of this in studies is art, poetry, all these things that are mysterious because God in some ways is a mystery. We don't really fully grasp him right away. That's why when Jesus comes, Jesus is the fullness of this Holy One. People are like, what does that even mean? I'll show you in a minute. How many of you have ever watched the movie The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe? Anybody here ever hear that movie, that book? It's very popular. It was written as a book by an atheist who became a Christian thinker called C.S. Lewis. And if you're into reading, the books are great. If you're not, they made the movie, right? So you can watch the movie. And there's a part in this movie that every time I watch it or I read about it, I think about holiness. I think about this idea of God being so apart and yet so near in a way like nothing else, like fiction can do that, right? It can capture these images for us. And if you remember in the movie, there's these kids, they go through a wardrobe, and when they get to the other side, they're in this like mysterious magical land, and it's cold, and it's winter, it's likely Quebec, and there's a curse. And there's a curse, so it's like, for sure it's Quebec. That's what they were thinking about. C.S. Lewis was thinking about it. I'm kidding on YouTube, no comments. But anyway, they're in this magical land, right? And there's this curse, and they realize that in order for the curse to go away, they gotta meet the ruler of the land. And he's this lion, and he's this important figure. And if you're reading the books or watching the movies, you know that a lot of the characters are meant to stir in us questions about biblical people and people in the Bible. So in the story of C.S. Lewis, I don't want to ruin it all for you, Aslan, who's a lion, represents who Jesus is. This animal that the Bible calls the lion and the lamb, like these imagery, right? And at one point, there's a discussion because these kids who find themselves in this magical place start talking to beavers, which is always great, right? They start talking to these beavers, and here's the interaction that takes place. You'll see it on the screen. Mr. Beaver says to the kids, Aslan is a lion. Like, they're looking for him. They have to go meet him. And Susan, she says, oh, said Susan, I thought he was a man. Is he safe, like, if he's a lion? And Mr. Beaver says, safe? Who said anything about safe? Of course he's not safe, but he's good, and he's the king. This is one of the most beautiful images that I think about when I think of the idea of holiness. That holiness is this picture of God, almost like a lion, that if you're near it, you're always like careful, no matter how nice it looks, that you could die, right? But that Jesus in this moment, or Aslan, represents one who is not safe, but who is good and kind and merciful and loving. And so holiness is that tension that we live in. And I think for many of us, we're living in a time where holiness becomes so many other things. that many of you are maybe at the place in your life when you think of holiness, you think of like hypocrisy and people who pretend to be Christians, which we'll talk about in a minute, people who care about, who can look all spiritual, but then don't live a life that really honors God. But it all begins with us understanding what it means that God is holy, holy, holy. And this Holy One, who is not safe, but he is always good, says to us, you know what? You now get to become holy. The Holy One asks us to be holy. How many of you be like, God, have you met me? Like, that's not a good idea. Like, I'm not gonna be able to do that. God's like, don't worry, I'm gonna help you, but you're gonna do that. Because God is holy and because he's hidden from us, people who've never met our God will only know what he's like when they meet us and we're being holy. Some of you got that, some of you you'll get it in 2 weeks, okay? Like, people in the world who will never understand the hiddenness of God will understand that he's holy when they meet us because we're becoming holy. And in seeing us, they're gonna be like, is that what your God's like? And we're like, you better believe it. Is he safe? Never. Is he good? You better believe it. That's what God's like. And so this idea of holiness is developed in the Bible constantly in the Old Testament. Moses wants to see God, and God's like, cover your eyes. Like, I'll kill you if you see me. Like, it's constantly this gracious, loving way that God is. Now, in the Old Testament, I just want to finish with this idea. There are prophets of God who talk about this idea all the time. They're trying to, like, get people's attention off of themselves and up to God, right? It's like worship. When you come to worship, you're always trying to think less of you and more of God. All my problems, all my stuff, all my things, God's like, just keep your eyes on me. Don't worry about it. That's what worship is meant to do. It's to steer your gaze in the right direction. And most of us, for hours and hours on end, your eyes are on your phone. Like, even now, some of you are getting the sweats because you can't grab your phone. Like, you're on a device where you're always seeing stuff, and God's like, just think of me. Look at me. Trust me. And remember, when you do that, I'm holy, holy, holy. People in the Bible had that same stress. Like, their world is falling apart. And there's one prophet, his name is Isaiah. He writes at a time when the rulers of the Bible were like corrupt and there's conflict and division and lying and manipulation. None of this stuff like today, right? And they have all of these problems. And Isaiah has this image where he starts to think about God's holiness. And this is what he says. He says, in the year of the king Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne. And above him were seraphims, these angels, each with six wings. How beautiful. With two wings, they covered their faces. With two, they covered their feet. And the two others, they were flying. And they were calling out to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. Isaiah's like, oh my goodness, like, he gets this moment where he starts to see, like, what's beyond this is that there's angelic beings who, even when they are in the presence of God, they must cover themselves. Right? Like, God is so, they're not sinful, they are messengers of God, but they're there, they have their faces covered. And he says this to the people in a time of great grief and sadness, because one of the kings has just died. It says that when the king Uzziah had died, no matter all the things you're about to feel, I want you to remember that there's one constant that has not changed, that God is holy, he's holy, and he's holy. And he's on his throne while everything in your world feels like it's falling apart. Do you think we need that today in our culture? Do you think we need the reminder, like, almost every hour, that when you're seeing, like, flooding and chaos and war and elections and all the stuff that would have your attention move away from God's call for us to be holy, that God says, as all these things are happening, remember that there's a constant you need to keep in mind, that there's a God who sits on his throne, and rulers in this world will come and go and people will forget them. But God, the Holy One, he sits on his throne and he has set people apart for his purposes. He set them apart and he's calling them to be holy, that they should be holy. And then Isaiah has this profound moment, and this is what happens to him next. It's pretty, pretty crazy. At the sound of their voices, of these angels, the doorposts and the threshold shook and the temple was filled with smoke. That's why we have a smoke machine here, I think. That's why you'll see it in there. All right. Woe to me, says Isaiah. I cried, I am ruined, for I am a man, you can say a woman, of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. I love this work of art. It's called Isaiah's Calling. It's this imagery of, like, the angels who are there, and it gives us a glimpse of what's going to happen next in the story, because Isaiah realizes that if he's in the presence of this Holy One, Like he can't be any closer without feeling like he's going to be destroyed. And he uses this language like, I'm ruined here. I can't stay here. And the angel brings a coal. God sends an angel to touch Isaiah's lips. And this is one of the great callings of Isaiah's life, for him to become a prophet of God. It's this profound moment in the Bible where we're invited to understand that when God reveals his holiness to us, he does this in such a way where then he invites us to now find our place and play our part in wanting to be holy because he's holy. Not just wanting to be holy because other people are watching, not caring about holiness because it's going to help us at our work, not doing the right thing because it's better for your family and your kids won't do drugs, whatever we tell ourselves. We're learning to be holy because God is holy. And as a pastor over the years, I've wondered why so many of us, if we're not careful, we start to think that holiness, like I said last week, is just for like some pastor or priest, just for some religious people. You might think, just for Isaiah, he's a prophet. But the Bible consistently says to us, if you don't take holiness seriously, you will experience what it's like that I will feel like I'm set apart from you. Because when holiness is not something we take seriously, we often feel like God is distant from us. Because he's called us to want to grow in these holy ways that he has in store for us. Isaiah's words here should be all of our words. Isaiah's language of saying, woe is me, is this worship language to say, like, I can't even speak right now because of how amazing this image is. I don't know if you've ever been in a place in your life where you've realized, like, I have no words for this. I can't really express what's going on deep in my heart. That's what Isaiah's trying to say. He's saying, this vision that I got, this glimpse that I got of who this God is, I feel so ruined and so unworthy to even be in his presence. You know what's so profound is that this is one of the great moments in our lives where we realize that God has come near to us even when we're not worthy to be near to him. This is the great good news of Christianity, by the way. It's not like we're trying to find our way to this holy God, because as you get closer, you're just going to die anyway. It's him saying, stop, don't go any further. I will come to you now. I will enter your space. I will come to where you are and remind you that I am holy, holy, holy. In the New Testament, when Jesus starts to teach, Jesus shows up among people who stopped caring about the importance of holiness. Jesus shows up and he starts talking to people who kind of are kind of confused about God. They've been kind of distracted by the teachings that they're hearing. And Jesus is going to come back to certain essential things about who God was. And what's profound is, I want to leave you with this. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus will use the same language that we find in the book of Isaiah, which is the language of woe is you. If you're taking notes, maybe write this down. That if we don't learn to say woe is me when we think about God's holiness, Jesus says to us, woe is you, if you don't understand how holy God is. Either way, there's a moment where we realize that God wants to do something deep in us and we have to welcome that on God's terms. Jesus shows up, and what he does is he goes to these religious leaders, which many of you I know will love this passage. He goes to them and he tells them that they're being hypocrites. That's what he tells them. He says to them, like, how did you forget that your job as religious leaders was to remind all the people, like my job is to remind the people, that God is what? He's holy, holy, holy. Like, it's my, like, if you look at my job description, it's somewhere in there, just to make sure the people don't forget that I'm holy, holy, holy. So I'm doing it. Now, you might not care, but I'm doing it. And the religious leaders at the time, they had stopped doing this. And Jesus shows up, and this is what he says. It's just crazy. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to the disciples, see below there, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first clean inside the cup and dish, and then the outside also will be clean. Can you imagine Jesus saying this to like religious leaders? The time, like, the disciples would have been like, Jesus, shh, keep it down. It's not like, this is going to get intense. Like, did you just say to them that they're hypocrites? Like, that's not a good thing. Like, we don't really do that here. Jesus says, woe is you that you've forgotten that you can't really hide from God. You can't pretend to be someone else to the people that God doesn't actually see. You can't think that you could just tell all the people all the things they should do and you yourselves never have to model any of that. He says this profound thing. He says, you know that if you only called the people back to the importance of the interior life where they were learning to desire to want to be holy, then the external things that people see that flow out of that life will take care of themselves. In this profound moment, Jesus says, woe to any of you who think that you can hide from God. Now you get this profound moment. God hides to protect us so that we would never hide from him. Do you see how profound that is? Like, God has to hide so that we can be honest. God hides so we can say, God, here are the things that I want to tell you about that I don't want to hide. Now, I know when you read this, it can, again, Jesus had a lot of things to say for the religious leaders, but this is not just a passage about like religious leaders and pastors and preachers who can like preach but not live it out. All the people would have started to feel that if religious leaders can become hypocrites, it's impossible for me. That's why this was so dangerous, that when the religious leaders didn't remind the people of how holy God was and how they should live, the people likely got discouraged that they maybe could never live up to what God had for them. Like, it's impossible to do what God's called us to do. Like, if these preachers, like, if the pastor cheats, oh, can you blame me? Like, I'm horrible, right? Like, think of it that way. Jesus would have been like, these people, they don't realize that God has the strength they need to live holy lives. They don't realize that because you have pretended to be holy, you look like you're all put together, and you've ignored what's happening on the inside. Can you imagine this ever happening to you? Can you imagine getting to the place in your life where you're great at telling other people that they have problems in their life, but you never realize your own problems? Do you know anybody like this? Do you know anybody who's great at saying about how all the things in the world are all bad and then their life is falling apart? You know, people have commentary about all everybody else's kids, but not their own. I know, it's getting intense. I know, let's relax. That's what Jesus is saying. It's not that at the right time we don't say something or share about like God's holiness and that people are not being obedient, but that we're modeling that first as the ones who take God's holiness seriously. And Jesus says, can you imagine that there's people who can become this way? They know about God's holiness. They have the Torah. They have the writings. They know all of this. They've seen the vision of Isaiah. They know this, and they ignore it. Can you imagine becoming that kind of person? That this stuff doesn't even faze you? Over the years, I've been with so many people, and I'm like, they act in certain ways, or they make decisions that seem so irresponsible from what the Bible teaches, and it doesn't even faze them. And I often think, I'm like, when did holiness stop becoming important to you? It doesn't just happen because you get up and say, today I'm not going to care about holiness. It happens because over time, you forgot that the one who is holy, holy, holy has called you and me to be holy. It's not me calling you to be holy. It's not somebody's watching you, so you got to pretend because your kids are here. It's God saying, I'm the one who's called you to be like this. And I'm the one who's giving you the strength to become holy. And if this can happen to these religious leaders, it can happen to us. It can happen to us. We can get so comfortable and easy by calling people out on stuff and making comments on social media and saying, oh, you know, the government and these people, I don't like them. And be like, whoa, just wait a second. Like, could this happen to me if I'm not careful? Where I can forget that God is trying to transform something inside of me so that other people who don't know who God is would know that he's holy because they see my life. And then just when you think Jesus is going to be like, okay, we're done. They had enough for today. He's going to say another thing. And this is even almost worse than the first one. This is what he says. Woe to you. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the inside, but on the inside are full of bones of the dead. My goodness, sounds bad. In the Bible, it would have been bad. Bones of the dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. This is like, I mean, the disciples are probably like, Jesus, we gotta go. I think they're gonna kill you now. Like, it's like, let's go. Let's go hide. Like, we need security now. Like, Jesus is just saying these things that are like mind-blowing, like shocking. And I think about this all the time. So many people that you know and that I know feel that when they think about God or church, they think about people being hypocrites. I've never met anyone who likes hypocrites. Never. But I've also never met a person who thinks they're a hypocrite. Just think about that. Like, I never met anyone who's like, yeah, I'm fine with people lying to me and cheating and pretending and being a hypocritical. I'm fine with that, fine. But then when you say to them, hey, are there times in your life where you're being a hypocrite? They're like, no, not me, I'm not into that. There's something about this that's so important. And before we wrap up, I just want to tell you one last thing. This is so essential that you understand this. That when you learn to read your Bible well, you learn when the Bible talks about things that Jesus does that we never get to do. Okay, I want to tell you one of those right now. Jesus is able to see something in the hearts of the Pharisees and call them out as hypocrites. We never get that power on this side of heaven. none of us are ever able to look into someone's heart and be like, you know what? You're being a hypocrite. Trust me, I've prayed for that power a lot. I've been in my office with people and I knew they were lying to me and I knew they were cheating and I knew they were doing this. And I was like, hey, is there anything you want to tell me about this situation? No. Are you sure anything about your kids that maybe happened last week you want to talk about? No. Are you sure? I'm like, oh, they're lying, but I wish I had the superpower Jesus had. Because I can't say anything. It's so important when we talk about hypocrisy, when we talk about holiness, that we remember that we are not like Jesus. We don't have this ability to just look at people and say, hey, you're being a hypocrite. I see this because you don't know people's hearts. There's only one way you grow out of hypocrisy when you're a Christian. It's by being with people in a community long enough to see them in good times and to see them in bad times. Because if you catch me on a bad day, I'm Maxi waiting in line where I want to kill somebody with the coupons. If you catch me, some of you are here, I know. I'll lose it. You know, if you catch me on a bad day, you'll be like, is that the pastor? I think it's the pastor of the church. That's a hypocrite. He just talked about holiness. You would. But the gift of God to us is not only that he's holy, but that he's given us a community of people that as we learn to live with one another and we get to know one another and we get to understand each other and we learn to love one another and forgive one another, we notice something in each other that we can't just notice by looking inside somebody's heart. If you don't tell me what's in your heart, I don't know that it's there. But when we understand that we have a holy God, he says to us, confess your sins to one another. Tell people when you're feeling drawn to pretending that you care about God's holiness when you don't. Talk about it when you feel that you're struggling to live the life Jesus is calling you to live. Do that. This is such an important thing for us because if we're not careful, even the gift of holiness, where we're called to be honest, becomes us being those who tell other people that they're hypocrites and miss the whole point of what Jesus is saying. He's saying, be the kinds of people that pay attention to what's happening inside, care about that I've called you to be holy, and just watch what flows out of you as you do that. Just watch. I'm gonna invite you to stand as we pray. And I wanna tell you why this is gonna be so important for us as we move into the future. Some of you know this, I tend to pray and plan like 6 months in advance for our church. So in some ways, I'm thinking about 2025 and 2026. And I'm praying and I'm just asking God, what do you want for our staff? What do you want for our church? What do you want for our finances? A lot of times our teaching series come from those moments where I sense God saying that my people need to hear about this more. So I'm like, okay. Trust me, I tried to avoid a series on holiness. I've tried. But I read an article a few weeks ago, it came out about a year ago, about why more and more people are disconnected with church, want nothing to do with faith. It's found in the Barna research study. It's a study that looks at young people and people leaving churches and churches closing, people doubting faith, people doubting the Bible. And part of the study, this is what they said about people who wonder about Christianity. They said this, for those with some distance from Christianity or the church, or not sure they want to care about church, the hypocrisy of religious people is the top driver of doubt. That whenever we think that holiness and living lives that honor God, so the inside looks the same as the outside, so we have integrity in how we live, when we think that doesn't matter, it doesn't just hurt us. It hurts a whole generation of people who don't understand what it means that God is holy, holy, holy. They don't. You know why they don't? Because they haven't seen it in us. So can we agree that we're gonna get more serious than ever about caring about holiness? Not in the weird way, not in a legalistic way, not in like the burden of, if I'm not perfect, you're a child of God, but you're called to be holy. We're gonna have to do this in ways we've never done it before. And we're gonna have to think about this, and we're gonna have to come back to the very simple idea that we worship the Holy One, and it's Him who calls us to be holy. Let's pray. Father, today we just ask that you would forgive us for pretending. Forgive us for the times when it's easy to just act spiritual, say the right thing, pretend to want to love you more and trust you more, but go on living our own lives. As we think about your holiness, We thank you. We thank you that Jesus drew near to us, reminding us that your love and your kindness is so available to us, even though you are the one who is holy, holy, holy. Protect us from pretending that we can know each other's hearts or thoughts or fix all these things without being called to a deeper sense of community together. Teach us what it means to listen well, to confess, and to trust you in those moments. Protect us from how easy it was for the religious leaders to look polished on the outside, but broken on the inside. As we leave now, Jesus, would you help us this week to remember that you have set us apart for your purposes, and we desire to live lives that honor you. As we leave now, we pray that the power of the Holy Spirit would teach us that we're called to be holy. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Hey, friends, we're thankful to do this together. I just want to mention, if you're here and some of this really is weighing heavy on your heart, if something you want to talk about, we have just some people here just in our prayer space that would love to pray with you. It's confidential. You can pray and talk and maybe discern something you're navigating. If you're tuning in online, we're so happy you joined us. We'll see you all next week. God bless everyone. See you soon.